12, 2020 agency request legislative proposals. This is a briefing.
All right, so we'll give you guys a little bit of an update on what we're thinking for 2020, run through our timeline for development of bills and budget requests, and then just run through a couple of proposals we've had from the programs that are really still in concept phase, get your feedback on those, and then talk through some strategy stuff for the interim. So the 2020 supplemental session is a short session. That timeline on the side there is the compressed cutoff calendar for a supplemental session. It's only 60 days. That means there's less time to work through complex policy issues. And the guidance we get from OFM is focus on really only emergencies and technical fixes. Don't bring us any new major policy initiatives during a supplemental year. Generally, we focus on 2-3 priority policy issues, and our track record for general fund has been around the $2 million, $3 million at most mark for a supplemental year. Next year's not an election year. We talked about that, so we'll have a little bit more time with members and less new faces, so that's good. People will be familiar with our stuff. We will have some leadership changes in the House, and we're going to be tracking those closely to make sure that we've got a good relationship with the new speaker, whoever that may be. We're hoping for another year of good revenue forecasts, and we're hearing a lot of legislative interest from budget writers in making some of those agencies whole where they kind of left us hanging just a little bit. I know they're thinking about us. I know they're thinking about DNR also. So hopefully that's a little bit of silver lining as well. So here's the timeline for legislative and budget development. We're right there, June 14th, presenting to you guys on some of our early thinking. We'll be back in front of you in early August for final decisions, and then we've got to turn and burn things around and get them submitted to OFM and the governor's office. Usually that's late September, early October in a supplemental year. So we know in the two years of a biennium, bills that don't pass are still active, and we have some priority bills that will still be hanging out there. Just quickly run through those. PILT will still be out there. We're going to be working with the coalition to figure out whether we can phase that one in over time or if we need a new strategy for that. My guess is they'll be just looking at phasing in order to get that fiscal note just a little bit smaller. Our ADA bill, definitely our prime sponsor, Representative Barkas, is interested in moving that again in the supplemental year. If anything, he wants to get some of the other state landholders together to think about whether there's a way to streamline more than just our discounts for disabled recreators, but also discounts at parks and on DNR lands as well. Our fee bill will still be there. Certainly a potential to keep pushing that one next year. We're going to be meeting with our prime sponsors, Senator Rolfes and Representative Blake, to figure out if they think that's politically viable during a supplemental year or if we're better off pushing on general fund. They both contacted us immediately after session ended with regrets for not getting these through and with an interest to keep working with us over the interim to come up with a strategy for getting them through. Both that and the Columbia River Salmon and Steelhead endorsement, seems like we need some pretty strong work with the rec anglers over the interim to figure out whether they're going to be supportive of these types of proposals. I know the director's been getting a group of folks together to think through, can we show some progress on implementation of Columbia River policy, things like buyback, alternative gears. So we're planning on reporting out on some of those things with legislators when we meet with them and with the rec anglers who are really interested in those pieces.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another one of my naive questions. You say this bill is still active, and if we got to a decision where we wanted to change what's in here, and I see under Columbia River Salmon endorsement, Salmon and Steelhead endorsement, reinitiation versus abandon versus roll into base. But my question is, when you say the bill is still active as it stands, but we're considering options to maybe alter that, how does that work? Do we recommend to them that there's a bill that we would like to see changed, or is there not really a bill there and it's whatever we bring forward, or what?
So the bill in its current form will still be sitting there on the second Monday in January when session reconvenes. What we would do is sit down with Senator Warnock, who's the sponsor, and say, do you want to push the same bill with just the four-year extension, or do we want to try to get general fund for the pieces of Columbia River Fisheries Management that this would have paid for, or do we want to totally restructure and reauthorize the endorsement to pay for different activities? Because that was one of the big things last session, was the rec community was really divided on what the endorsement should pay for. Some wanted it to pay for buyback. Some wanted it to pay for just those upper river fisheries management activities. So we've got a lot of options, but on the second Monday in January, it will be a four-year reauthorization of the endorsement. Unless we draft a whole new bill, which we could also do.
So is that what is up for decision in August then, is a decision on that matter, on whether we would support doing the same thing again or something different?
Yes, it's up for decision in August, but we would really like to get guidance today so that we could then start building those proposals for a final decision in August. And that gives us another two months to do all that public outreach on whether or not we'd want some sort of restructured Columbia River endorsement, as an example.
All right, moving forward. So those are the bills that you guys have seen before. These are the new proposals. We've got five of them. The enforcement program is putting forward a proposal that would take some of our lower level fish and wildlife crimes and make them civil infractions, and also change the license revocation statutes to allow us to revoke a license after there have been two violations in 5 years instead of waiting 10 years for three violations. So kind of the outcomes here, trying to keep those low level crimes out of local courts, trying to reduce recidivism, and trying to keep people recreating. Our wildlife veterinarians are operating under a Department of Health statute currently that really wasn't written for wildlife veterinarians, and they've been working with Department of Health and the Board of Pharmacies for the last couple years to try to figure out how to fix that through rulemaking. Department of Health is really pushing that we do it through statute change and is happy to work with us on it. That'll allow us to use those tools for humane euthanasia and safe handling of animals. The Habitat Program has identified a barrier to pushing forward some of our major habitat restoration projects with our federal partners. Some of the federal agencies have concerns with liability and really want the state to indemnify them of any liability on these projects in the future. And so Habitat Program's been working with the AGs to figure out exactly what that would look like. But it's something we really want to tackle, because federal funds for some of these big projects like PISNRP projects will allow us to be able to do them, and we couldn't do them without those federal partners and those federal dollars. And you guys will remember the Matrix report. One of the recommendations was around our accounts and how complex they are, especially how we don't have a ton of transparency, especially with budget writers. They don't get to see the back end that we see, and they really don't understand the restricted versus unrestricted flexible accounts versus non-flexible accounts. And so Morgan and his team are working on cleaning up some of those statutes so that we can be more transparent in our budgeting. Anything you want to add on that?
Chairman and Commission, this is, some people might think this is kind of a boring bill. It gets me really, really excited because it helps tell a story that I think has been really difficult for our agency. I think we've got a lot of complicated stories when it comes to funding and the work that we do. And I think that, you know, when we got together with our Budget and Policy Advisory Group and OFM, you know, for a brief shining moment, kind of like, oh, okay, that's what's going on? Okay. They really, really recommended this bill. And so we're working on getting a letter from OFM to split this account into two, so that we can show our problem statement correctly in a way that makes sense with generally accepted accounting principles, and you know, has the transparency that we want. Unfortunately, we're suffering. We're a little bit on the poor side. This makes it more obvious how and in what way we're we're poor. Hopefully that leads to opportunity and transparency. Sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Baker.
Well, speaking of opportunity, is part of this looking at our accounts, the accounts in the budget, and identifying, and I'm making this up, but let's just say we have 13.5 cents on some funding source going to regulating turkeys that was passed in 1964. We have that kind of thing in our budget. And so are we also going through and identifying that and looking at a cleanup bill, which may or may not allow flexibility, or at least just piling it all together in one account?
So, Chairman and Commissioner, currently the bill is even more boring than that.
I don't think it's boring.
Oh, okay, good. Me neither. Okay. But it does not do – it doesn't attempt to do anything that might scare or worry a stakeholder who cares about turkey, right? Because I think what we would be worried about is folks saying, no, I that was a good idea in 1964, and it's a good idea now that 13 cents go towards that particular turkey piece. So it doesn't attempt to take away that. We could change the legislation if you guys wanted to provide guidance. But right now, all it's trying to do is separate that more restricted, that more limited account from the non-restricted piece so that we can show how hurt and in trouble that non-restricted piece is, because it's so much easier to spend that money on any of the things that we want to spend on, and it's hard to tell our story about how much more damaged we are beyond just the 104 account. So it doesn't attempt to even do that other piece as well. It's just right now the way that it's drafted, chopping those two pieces in half.
And we have historically had budget writers say, it doesn't look like you have a budget shortfall to us. And that's because they're looking at the state wildlife account as a whole, and they're not seeing all those sub-accounts that have restrictions. So we can't touch those funds, but we definitely have a shortfall over here, and they just don't see that level of detail. So it just cleans it up so we can communicate it to the legislature and to OFM. The final one here is on forest health. We last session only got $2 million towards our $6 million need to keep up with forest health treatments, and so we've been brainstorming ways of getting that commitment increased, and one of the ideas is to set a goal of 9,000 acres of treatments per year, have it in a bill, have it introduced early in session, work with legislators that have been real champions on this issue to get the conversation started early. Get it, you know, with a fiscal note moving through budget committees earlier on in session. So those are the five new bills. We also know that there's likely going to be kind of a phase two of policy recommendations from the Southern Resident Killer Whale Task Force. It looks like it's definitely going to include some sort of reforms to the Growth Management Act, Shoreline Management Act, which will keep us busy. There's usually at least 20 bills on GMA in an average year, so I'm sure it'll be even more next year. So that's a heavy supplemental year for us. Four bills still alive that are high priority, and five new bills, plus ORCA, and only 60 days to get it all done in. So we know there's going to be a lot of outreach needs in the interim before session starts in January, already working on that strategy that Commissioner Baker mentioned of who we're going to meet with when to make sure that we're communicating our budget and our priorities, starting to develop some ideas for tours. We've got both the House and the Senate Ag committees wanting to come out and see and learn about some of our issues, which is exciting. We'll have them, the House committee, out in July in Northeast to talk about wolves, and the Senate committee out in September in Port Townsend to learn about fisheries and outdoor recreation. We're going to do some hatchery tours, some orca patrols, and other events. And we have some BPAG members that are interested in also sponsoring some events with legislators to help raise awareness to our budget shortfall. Other stakeholder outreach, definitely need to get together with some of our advisory committees and talk through some of these issues. and our public affairs team is working hard on different opportunities for op-eds, editorial boards, and other communication tools to highlight some of these priorities, and is working with us on those communication tools we talked about earlier to help simplify some of our more complex management issues. Anything else, Nate, on interim strategy? Any questions on that or feedback, or should we move right into budget thoughts?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner McIsaac.
This might get tied into the next agenda item, but of all of these, the only one where, after hearing this, it would seem like there ought to be some discussion here is on the matter of the fee bill. You know, whether or not we would be in favor of just sticking to what's currently in the bill, which is our last year position, or change or recommend that that be changed. I had thought maybe that we could put a couple of options out there and ask the staff to think about those and analyze them and ask the advisory bodies to comment on them and decide in August. But I wasn't sure if what I just heard was no, we'd really like that discussion to occur at the front table right now. And if there is something different, then be wise to put that to some sort of solidified opinion now. And so I don't know if this is better in the next one or not, but I have a feeling that if we just stay with this very same bill as it stands, that we're likely to get the same arguments again that we just heard. And we've got a track record of failure on fee increases. And I've looked at the Bonneville Dam jack counts of Spring Chinook, and they're not good. And salmon runs go up and down through time. And we've been coming off of some record high runs in the Columbia River, 2015 being the best since 1925. And the chances of next year being a big bonanza year that no one's going to be able to make a claim that fishing's going to be poor, why should we pay for more license fees, are probably not good. Probably likely next year's not going to be a good one. I don't know about that, but for the Spring Chinook run, that first indicator is poor. So from my perspective, I think we ought to have a discussion about whether or not we should stick with the same program and roll the dice again on the very same thing or change it. And so that's, again, on a matter of process. I had thought we could just put a couple of options, keep the same and change it and decide in August. Maybe that's not what we should be doing. We should be discussing it right now. Or maybe it's under the next agenda
item. I think we ought to get to the last agenda item, get the presentation, and then address it. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
One time.